Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Nida Daf Dalid. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you're not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our homepage. If you're already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief 4-minute introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the Daf before the Shiur, and even better, order your personal volume of this Maseches. Our address is gmarkings@gmail.com. At the end of our last Shiur, we were involved with different Tirutzim, a series of answers to show the distinction between the case of Kupa that Shammai and Hillel had agreed upon that there would be Tumah L'mafer, there would be retroactive Tumah, as opposed to the case of Kupa, in which Chizkiyo and Rabbi Yochanan had argued. But according to the last Teretz, the case that Chizkiyo and Rabbi Yochanan had argued about was a case of the two corners of a house, where a box was used for taharos, and there was no sheretz seen in the box when the box was in the first corner of the house. But after he emptied out the box of its contents of taharos and brought the box to a second corner of the house, lo and behold, he noticed a sheretz in there. And the question is, do we say that this sheretz that you noticed while the box was in the second corner of the house was in the box when it was in the first corner of the house when the taros was still there? So Chizkiyo said, "Lo machzikinan tuma mimokom lamokom." We don't assume tuma that you discover in one place had been there in the previous place. And Rabbi Yochanan says, we are machzik tuma mimokom lemokom. That was the very last point of our shiur, and now we continue 16 lines from the top of Daf Dalet, almost halfway down the page. You'll notice that there is a long question marking to the immediate right-hand side of the Gemara text, a kuf that's encircled with a descending vertical dashed line. And you'll notice that this goes to the bottom line. It's a very long question, and you'll notice quite a few markings in the Gemara itself, a number of framed sources, all of these Tanaic sources, a series of triangles, and a couple of bow ties. What does all this mean for us? So we'll take advantage of one of the features of the Shas Ozer, that's the marked Gemara that appears on your screen. On the outside margin, you'll notice the word nosei, that's a topic heading, and we've written there machzikinan tumo mimokom lomokom machloikis Chizkiyo v'Rabbi Yochanan. This issue of assuming tumo found in one place having been present in another place, this is an issue, it's a machlokis, a controversy between Chizkiyo and Rabbi Yochanan. We mentioned the triangles, so under our Mivneh heading, we've explained Sidro Shel Mekoros is a series of sources, Shemehem Royim, from which we see De'ein Machzikin, that we don't consider Ein Machzikin Tumo Mimokom Lemokoim, Uvekach Makshim Al Rabbi Yochanan. From these sources, we see that you're not machzik tuma mimokom lemokom, and through this we end up asking on Rabbi Yochanan Shomar machzikin tuma mimokom lemokom, who says that we are to assume tuma found in one place having been present in the other place. The bow ties highlight the expression v'chi tema. These are nisyonos letaretz letoivas Rabbi Yochanan. Avol nitchois, a couple of attempts where the Gemara tries to answer or deflect that particular source, but they are not successful attempts to answer. So now the Gemara. After hearing Rabbi Yochanan that said, Machzikinan, we are machzik tumah from one place to another, we assume the tumah that you discover in the second place to have been present in the first place, the Gemara asks, Umi machzikinan, are we to assume from one place to another? The Hotnan, Noga ve'echod b'layla, v'eino yodea im chai imes. A person was sleeping in a bed, and he touched someone who was lying there, wasn't aware whether he, the person being touched, was dead or alive. It goes without saying that a person that's dead communicates tumah, ritual impurity. And ulamochar, the next morning, hishkim, our subject gets up, umotsoi meis, and finds that the body that he had touched was dead. Rabbi Meir mitaher, v'chachamim mitamin. We should point out that in this case of the nighttime, at night, the person who had touched was, as we said before, the person who did the touching wasn't sure whether the one he had touched was dead or alive. In the morning, he wakes up and sees that there is a person in bed that is in fact dead. Rabbi Meir Metaher. Rabbi Meir says that even though you find someone dead in the morning, this is not necessarily the same person that you had touched at night. Before going on in the Gemara, we just want to point out that Rashi will elucidate this in a moment. The source goes on, V'chachomim mitamin. The Chachomim say, if you had touched someone at night while you were sleeping, and you wake up in the morning and you notice someone in the bed is dead, so you're tomei. Shekol hatmeyos kishas mitzioson. All tumah is established by the situation that you find it in. So that in the morning, if you find a person dead in the bed, we'll assume that that is the person that you had touched at night. V'toni alo, and there's a Tanaic source that adds to this, kish'as mitzioson, that tumah is determined by the time you find it, uve'mokoim mitzioson, and in the place that you find it. Now, let's go over this source again by looking at the Rashi. Rashi, across from here, says, uve'mokoim mitzioson, im motzoi shachris meis, if you find him in the morning dead in the same spot that you had done the touching at night, then you are tomei. If you did touching to someone at night and you know that you touched them in a different place, a different part of wherever you were at night, there in the bed, and you find him in a different place in the morning, dead, tohor, then you are tohor, v'lo amrinon, and we don't say, ki heshi dehocha meis, just like you find him here, dead, hosam nami havi meis b'mekomo horishon, he had already been dead in the first place. So, from this you see that we're not machzik tuma mimokom lemokom. True, he's dead over here, but we don't assume that this individual had already been dead in the place that you had done the touching in some other place, and he had been moved at night. We don't make that assumption. It appears that Rabbi Meir in this source, who really is not the focus of our attention, but he is even more mekil, and says that you will be tohor under all circumstances, being that at night you didn't know whether he was dead or alive, and in the morning when you weren't touching anymore, you found him to be dead. That doesn't reflect on his status, on what he was when you had done the touching earlier that evening. The Gemara, after now having raised the question on Rabbi Yochanan from this source that says, Kishas mitziyosan uve mokoy mitziyosan, that tuma will be assumed only if it's in the same place that you had done the touching, but not if when you did the touching it was in a different place. V'chitema, if you try to answer on behalf of Rabbi Yochanan, who said that we are machzik tuma mi mokom lamokom, you might want to say, Hani mili, that which we just learned in the source, that we're not machzik tuma mimokum lemokum, that's lisrof. That we wouldn't, as a result of, this situation being discovered, we wouldn't go ahead and burn the, let's say you had touched afterwards, you had touched truma. Avol litlois talilan, but we will say that the truma you touched is to be suspended, namely not to eat it. True, not to burn it, but don't eat it. It will be forbidden because of this suffik tuma. So that and Rabbi Yochanan, who spoke about being machzik tuma mi mokom lomokom, would then be saying that we'll view the taros as having been tomei mi suffik. And hence, this source, which says we're not machzik tuma mi mokom lemokom, that's true only as far as we won't go ahead and burn the truma, but we will treat it as suffek tamei. Well, even regarding that, the Gemara says omi talinon, and now we have a second source. As we said before, these triangles are all part of a series of sources that add to the question, that serve to show that whatever we're trying to answer isn't going to work, and that you have to take into consideration all of these additional sources. So the Gemara says, we wouldn't even be tole v'hotanan machat shenimtseis mleo chaluda o shivura. A machat's a needle, it's a vessel as such, that is, when it was like in good condition. Here it's described as mleh chaluda shvura, means it's either full of rust or it's broken, hence it's not useful right now. So we're dealing with a machat that you had known to be tomei. However, you find it in a state where it's rusty or broken, hence it's not functional, it's not useful anymore. And a kli, when it becomes dysfunctional, is no longer capable of transmitting tumah. So that we have a machat that we know in its background, or in its history, so to speak, had been tomei. But it's right now rusted, or it's broken. We say it is tohor, and the word tohor means completely tohor, not toilin. That means that that anything it comes into contact with won't be... will be totally allowed, won't be tomei whatsoever. And we should have noted that this macha that we find it on some taharos, we find it on some food item that has to be, let's say we find it on some truma. Shekol hatmeos kishas mitziyosan. Anything that had been tomei is determined, its tuma level is determined, or its status as being tome is determined by the point at which you find it. Now, the Rashi adds over here that the assumption here is likewise with regard to place you find it. And we don't say that, okay, that over here it may be tohor, but somewhere else it was tomei. Let us take a look at the Rashi. Tohor milatame. Rashi that we're looking at is across just a couple lines down from here. The Rashi says, Tor milatame taros shenimtse salayan. The needle is going to be tohor, from meaning incapable of communicating tuma, to the taros that this machat is found on. For loyam rinon, we don't say shlema nofla alehem v'tomasin v'achak nishbra, that, well, when it fell onto these taros, onto this truma or kochim, that it had been tome and only later was broken. Elo aminon, we rather say shvura o chaluda kasher hi ato. We say rather it was broken or rusty as it is right now. Kashi ato noflo alehem. Almo kol hatmeos kishas mitzioson machzikinon lehu. Therefore, all things that we're concerned with their tuma, we judge them as the time we find them. Vafilu tlio leko, even suffik, there does not exist. Dikotoni tahora, the word Torah is used indicating it's not a matter of doubt, it's a matter of certainty. The taros here will be certainly tahor. Because salka daitoch, the wadin nami lemokoyim mitzioson, the machzikinon lubetuma. And likewise, we think right now that we're dealing with the place as well. V'lo misafkinon lo b'mokoyim acher. And we don't have any doubts concerning another place. Avo litlos, afilu litlos, even for considering doubt. V'kashya l'Rabbi Yochanan. So just like we judge things the way you find them, we'll also judge things where you find them. So practically speaking, that would mean that if you had, let us say, like in our case, you had been using the taros in, you had been dealing with the taros in one place, and you find it over here with a broken needle, so we don't assume that somewhere else there it had been in a different state. So the Gemara goes on. The amai lemo ha hai meikora machan ma'al yisohi. Why not say that originally when it fell onto the taros, this needle was in good shape and had been tomei at that point? The hashtahu, the helo chalud, and only now it developed the rust. But as far as we are concerned, the taros became tome. However, and so you see, we don't say that because the source said tahora. So we don't make any assumptions. Any assumptions that the situation had been different previously by way of time. And as Rashi said, we're also not going to make any assumptions regarding something different regarding place either. The Oid Tanan, and furthermore, it is taught Motza Sheretz Soruf Agabi Hazesim V'chein Matlis HaMehum Hom. If one found a burnt sherets that was lying on olives, and a talis is a matlis, is in this case a reference to a garment belonging to a zav. However, it's totally worn out. Hamahum hum. It's a totally worn out, decomposing piece of garment. We knew it belonged to a zav, and a zav is a type of person that's tomei. And if in better times the garment would be considered itself tomei. However, we find it in this worn out state, and it's lying on olives. Tohor, the olives are tohor. They are not defiled. Shekol hatmeos kishas mitziosan. We establish the tuma level of things as we find them. The chitema, now you might want to say, kishas mitzioson, bein lekula, bein lechumra, uve mokum mitzioson, avol sheloi bemokum mitzioson, misraf lo sarfino mitlo talinon. You might want to make this distinction, And before we can explain the Gemara, we'll glance at Rashi for his explanation of what we just learned. The Rashi that we're going to look at is the third line under the Gemara text. In describing the olives, we said in the source that they are tohor. So Rashi says, tohora milatame hazesim. The burnt sherets, it's burnt, it's no longer, it's a charcoal form. It's not capable of transmitting tumah to the olives. The Amrinon Hochi Noflalai, we say, in this burnt state is the way it was when it fell on the olives. The Achar Shebolsa, after it became ruined, or the Tahora Mitum Osa, and as such, either the sherets that's burnt or the garment that's worn out. The bolsa is more appropriate a term referring to the worn out garment, and therefore it's tom itohor. Alma lo machzikinon tuma misha'a l'sha'a afilu litvos. We don't make assumptions regarding tuma from one time to another, even regarding suffek de kotoni tahora. And because it says in this source tahora, we make no assumptions, meaning if you find it now in this non-tome state, that's the way it was, and we make no assumptions that maybe it was in a different state when it initially came into contact. Fuadin mimokom lemokom. Likewise, with regard to from one place to another, if you find the tumo in place B, we don't assume that it was there in place A. V'chi temo lo domi. Now Rashi goes on, and this is the Rashi we need to learn for what the Gemara explained. You might say, well, it's still different than Rabbi Yochanan's case. Dehocha mishum hochi tohor. In this case, you know why it's tohor. Mishum deshas mitziosa umokum mitziosa betara havoi. That you found it in that shas mitziosa, the time that you found it, and the place that you found it, it was tohor. It was, as we said here, it was either the sherets was burnt or the garment was totally worn out. The Bosur Shas Mitziosan Azlinon, we go according to the time that you find it, Bain Lakula, Bain Lakhumra, whether the result is a leniency or the result is a stringency. And what do we mean by that? Bain Lakula, Kihocha, Gabi Macharu Matlitz, Lachzuka B'Tahora Vadai. The Kula would be like our cases of the needle or the garment, where the result is going to be Tahara. Bein l'chumra, what would the case of stringency be? Kagon, noga be'echod b'layla, the previous case where you had touched someone at night, lachzuke betuma vadois, to consider him definitely tome. In other words, if you find him, if you find the person in the morning that you had touched at night, you find him in the morning to be dead in the place that you had touched him, so we'll assume that at night he was also dead. That would be l'chumra. However, and in those cases, kula and chumra that we just learned in Rashi, the result will be one of certainty, either certain tahara, like the cases of the needle or the garment, where we find it in the morning, we find it now in a state of tahara, it was always tahara. In the case of the body, you find it dead, it was always dead, namely from the point in time that you touched it. V'shelo b'mokom mitziyasan, deleko raglayim l'dover kulehai. However, a situation where you're dealing with the other place, where it is not as likely, raglayim l'dover is an expression meaning suspicious or likely, where the likelihood is less. So in such a case, so misraf lo sarfinon, we won't go ahead and burn the truma or the taros that are under question. However, mitla talinon, but we will view it as tome from a suffix standpoint. And if we were to say that, we could still justify Rabbi Yochanan. Remember, we're discussing Rabbi Yochanan's case of the box that you had in place A, you had been using it with Taharos, and in place B, after emptying out the box and moving it to place B, you find in place B, the box has a sheretz in it. So do we say that the Taharos that were in this box previously were in a box that had become Tomei from the sheretz because the sheretz had been in there in place A? So it could be, this is the Vechitema suggesting, that we'll view the Taharos that were in place A as Sofek Tomeim, and hence Talinon. And that would be what Rabbi Yochanan is saying above. So that from the attempt here is saying that the sources that we've been dealing with till now, whether it be the finding the body dead, or finding the sheretz and worn out garment in a state of Tara, that was to come to conclusive conclusions, to definitive conclusions. But as far as raising a suffix, we will be machzik tuma mimakom lemakom. Even that you cannot say. The Hotnan, we have the following source which will show you that you can't say that either. And here the source says, Kikor al gabi hadaf. A loaf of bread, some baked good, was on a shelf. It was originally on a shelf. Umeidaf tome munach tachtov. The word meidaf means, is a reference to a garment that is tome. And this meidaf, this beged tome, is lying on the floor under the shelf, or off to the, just a, it's underneath the shelf, and we find this loaf of bread on the floor just beyond this beged that's tomei, just beyond this article of clothing that's on the floor that's tomei. So once again, we started off with a loaf that was located on a suspended shelf, and I come in and find the loaf that had been on that shelf, I find it on the floor just a bit beyond the garment. Afalpi she'im nofla e'efshar elo imke noga. Even though that had the loaf fallen off the shelf on its own, meaning through gravitation, if it had fallen off the shelf, but let's say it was originally positioned in a precarious way, and had fallen off the shelf, and it would have been impossible for it to land on the floor at this spot without having touched the garment, nevertheless, tahora, the loaf we are going to say is tahor. Why? Shani oimer adam tahor nichnas l'sham v'notla. We will assume that it didn't fall off by itself, but rather some person who had himself been tahor came and took it off the shelf and put it on the floor where it is right now, without having come into the contact with that garment whatsoever. Ad sheyomar bori li shelo nichnas adam sham. Unless, or until you reach a point, or until you have a situation where someone would say that no one walked into that room. The Omar Rebbe Lazar, Loi Nitzrucha, this explanation of Shani Omer, Elo Lamoko Midron, is needed for a place where there is a, where the bread had been on an incline. We said before I was laying on a precarious position. This is the more or less the same idea, where the bread had been on an incline, where it's where there was a certain level of likelihood it would have rolled off the shelf over the garment and landed where it landed. And yet we do not say that. Let's emphasize that this issue of Mokom Midron is exactly our topic of Mi Mokom the Mokom. In other words, I find it here without having been in contact with the garment, just like I find it here in a state of non-contact with Tuma. It was never, even beforehand, when it was in a different place, it had not gone through, experienced any contact with this garment. So what do we see from here? We see, first of all, the expression tahora, meaning complete tahara, not even an issue of doubt. even though we're dealing with a case of thing having been originally in a different place, and now I find it in this place. Rashi explains, let us take a look at this, Rashi, toward the bottom, Elo lemokom nidron. Shafalpi shahadaf shakiko la mokom nidron, even though the shelf was on a slant, was on an incline, uruya kikor lipol, and it was you would have expected the kikor to fall and go over this garment. The im nofla, had it actually fallen, had we known that it fell, it would have noga, or as we saw in the Gemara, had we known that no one was there, and the only way for it to get here would have been to roll off the shelf, and then it would have definitely touched the garment. That's the im nofla, noga bebeged, afilu hachi tahora. Even so, the beged is going to be considered tahor. Even though it was a mokom midron, shani omer v'chulei, because we say someone had come in there and taken it from its original spot and put it here. Almo, we see from this lo machzikinon tumo mimokom lemokom de nemo me'al hadaf nafal nizgagon kan. We don't say that it had been gone from one place to another and rolled over this particular source of tumo. So this is a function of we're not machzik tumo mi mokom lemokom. The Gemara at this point then ends the question, showing that we don't make assumptions regarding tumo from one place to another, but rather as you see it, it is, making, as we say, no assumptions regarding no changed assumptions. There's no issue of change from one place to another. Hence, with regard to the kupa, that if I find it, here with the sheretz, that does not mean that in the previous place it had the sheretz. That's a question on Rabbi Yochanan. The Gemara answers, Hossam, this last case with regard to the kikar, kidekatoni taima, the reason that we are metaher is because of what is built into the source itself. And Rabbi Yochanan will agree with that. It says in the source, now we continue at the top of Daf Dalet Amud Beis, it says in the source, Shani oimer odom tor nifnas l'shom v'nokla, that someone who was tahor came in and removed it from the shelf and put it over here. As opposed to our case of the box in which you find the sheretz. The Gemara asks, well, hocha nami nema, why not say regarding the box, orev asa v'shada, why are you, Rabbi Yochanan, saying that the box in which I find the sheretz now had been originally tomei, because I don't have this excuse, we'll say, of shani omer odom tor nichnas l'sham, but why not say that an orev, a bird, came after I had removed the box from the first spot and only now dropped the sheretz into the box? Why are you saying, the Gemara is asking, why is Rabbi Yochanan saying that if I find the sheretz in the box now, the sheretz was definitely there in the original state where when the taros were present? Why not say that after he emptied out the box in the first corner of the house, and the box was carried over to this second corner, it was then, while it was being transferred, empty of its taros, a bird dropped the sheretz into the box? The Gemara answers, the reason we don't say that is Odom debekavona amrinon, people who work with intent. So there, I will say that there was intention on the part of someone to take the loaf from the shelf and put it on the floor. However, Oirev, a bird, if he's going to be my excuse or explanation of the Tara, if the bird is going to be my explanation of the Tara, a bird doesn't work with intention. Orev de shaloi bekavona, loi amrinon. a bird having intent to drop a sheretz at any given point, we would not say that the bird had intent to drop it into the box. So, therefore, since you don't have this human element in the story of the box movement from place A to place B, we are going to say that the sheretz was originally in the box in place A as well. And hence, at this point in the Gemara, Rabbi Yochanan successfully defends his position. Michti, hai kikar. The Gemara has another question regarding the loaf. Sufik tuma b'shus hayochidu. Is it not a case of sufik of doubt concerning tuma in a private domain? V'chol sufik tuma b'shus hayochid sveik otome. We have a rule, a well-known rule, that any issue of doubt concerning tuma in a private domain, the ruling is one of tuma. So why is it that we say that the loaf that was found a little further away from the garment, why do we say that the loaf is tohor? Two approaches. Number one, Mishum Davi Dover Shein Bo Das Lishol. Because the loaf is an inanimate object, it's not a person, we're not dealing here with a suffix concerning a person's tuma status, but rather the loaf's tuma status. The loaf is inanimate, it's not something that you can ask of it any questions. That's called Dover Shein Bo Das Lishol. V'chol Dover Shein Bo Das Lishol, items that are incapable of being asked of it questions, we say bein b'shus rabban bein b'shus hayochid sveiko tor. Not only in a public domain, which is well known to be ruled as tor, but even a suffix in a private domain as well, it is ruled to be tor. And the reason for that is that the these dinim of suffix tuma and how to conclude them are learned from the parsha of Sota. Sota is the case of the married woman who is suspected of immoral behavior. And there the Torah calls her, when she goes into private with another man, the Torah labels her Tamei'ah. But we're dealing there with a person. And a person is Yesh Bodas Lishoil. And there we say, when you have a doubt and you're in a private domain, so we rule Tuma. Here, though, you're dealing with a loaf of bread. And that, the kikar, that is, and that is something that you can't ask of it questions. It's not like the woman in the case of Sota. The Iboy Esema, Hocha, Betuma de Rabbonan. Another reason for our laxity or leniency with regard to the bread is you're dealing with a rabbinic level of Tuma. And as a result of that, we can, even though it's a suffix tumah b'shus hayochid, we nevertheless are able to rule leniently, because the maximum level of problem here would be a rabbinic as opposed to a Torah-based level of tumah. And the Rashi explains the tumah de Rabbonon here is that the garment on the floor may have been tumah on a rabbinic level. Without getting into details, Rashi gives a source for this information, but it would be going beyond our goals for right now of understanding. Sufficient to say that had the loaf come into contact with the garment, the bread would have become tome only on a rabbinic level. So here we're in a state of doubt, so we rule leniently. Daiko Nami, by careful reading of the source, you can see that we are dealing with a Tumah d'Rabbanan, Dikotoni Meidaf. The garment was described using this very unusual word, Meidaf. And how does that reflect that we're dealing with a light level of Tumah? Kedichtiv, the Pasuk says, Ale Nidaf. Meidaf and Nidaf are coming from the same root, which for our purposes is a reference to something that's very light. In this case, a light level of Tuma. We go back to the Mishnah that opened up our Masichta, where we saw Machlokes Shammai and Hillel regarding the woman who finds or experiences a blood flow. Shammai had said she is Tumea only from the point she sees the blood flow and no retroactive Tuma. Hillel said she is Tamea retroactively till the last point that she can say that she was definitely Tahor. And the Chachamim, our third opinion, the Chachamim Omrim Lo Kedivrei Zeh, etc. They said, we're not going to be as lenient as Shammai, nor are we going to be as stringent as Hillel, but rather, we're going to say the maximum, there is a level of retroactive Tumah, but it won't be any, can't be more than 24 hours retroactively, and possibly can be less. On the outside margin, the topic heading that we've assigned to this Gemara, the Nosei, Shitas Chachamim, Demetamo Me'es Le'es V'lo Yoiser. We're going to be looking into the Chachamim's opinion that renders the woman who experiences a blood sighting as being Tameya Limafreya, being retroactively defiled, but not more than 24 hours. The expression Me'es Le'es is a reference to 24 hours. The Gemara, Tana Rabbana, the Tanaic source that you see is in a frame, and it lasts quite a few lines. The source says, Chachamim Omrim, Lo Kedivrei Zeh V'lo Kedivrei Zeh, not like this one, nor like that one. Lo Kedivrei Shammai, we do not rule like Shammai, Shelo, also Siog L'dvorov, that made no fence. In other words, didn't impose any additional Tumah, but rather they said, right now, she's Tumah, and not from before. No retroactive Tumah, which would have, had they said there was some element of retroactive Tumah, we would have called that a Siog, a fence or a precautionary measure. For lo kedivrei Hillel, nor are we going to rule as Hillel, shehifriz al midosav, that was overly cautious, was extreme in his ruling, meaning total retroactivity all the way back until there could be a definite statement of tahara. Elo, rather, what is our position? Me'es le'es mima'etes al yad mipkido lipkido. These two expressions are explained by the source itself with examples. So the Gemara, the source goes over them, and you can see we've included little lettering here to parallel the two letters we had just before. Me'es le'es mima'etes al yad mipkido lipkido. Ketzad, the idea of the 24-hour time frame, the retroactive 24-hour period, can reduce the from checking to checking. How does that work? Bodko atzmo be'echod b'shabbos u'motzos tahora. A woman had checked herself using the white cloth that she inserts into the area that the blood would flow from. She checks herself on Sunday and finds herself to be tahor. Tahora, meaning the checking cloth remains white. The Yoshva Sheni Vishlishi Velo Bodka. And she was she sat Monday and Tuesday, did no checking. Ulurvi Bodko Motsutame, on Wednesday she checks herself and finds herself to be Tamea. She finds the checking cloth has some red on it, indicating blood. Ein Oimrim, we do not say to Tame Mipkido Libkido that we're going to declare her, we do not say we declare her Tumea from this checking point retroactively to the last checking point, meaning all the way back to Sunday. Rather, Elo Me'es Le'es. All we say is that she, we find her on Wednesday to be Tumea, so from whatever time on the clock on Wednesday she discovers the Tumah, we say 24 hours retroactively, anything she had touched will also become Tumea, but not any further back. This how does that work? That the retroactively back to the last checking could result in a reduction from the 24-hour period. We give an example. Bodko atzmo b'sha'a rishoyno u'motzu Torah. Let us say, 6 in the morning, a woman checks herself and finds herself to be Tahora. V'yoshvalo shnia ushlishis velo bodka. And she sits there from 6 to 7, and from 7 to 8 in the morning, and finds, and she doesn't check herself at all. Ulervias bodko matzu tmeya. And at 9 o'clock, she checks herself and finds herself tmeya. Ein omrim, we don't say to tamei me'eis le'eis, that from 9 o'clock in the morning when she discovers herself to be tamei, we do not say we're going to make her tamei 24 hours retroactively. After all, she checked herself 6 in the morning and found herself to be tahora. Elo mipkido lipkido. We will declare her tamei retroactively from this point in time where the checking, 9 o'clock in the morning, checking reveals herself to be tamei, back to the last checking time, 6 in the morning, when she checked herself and she was still tahora. So the Gemara says, pshita, that's obvious. It's obvious that we're not going to be metamei her l'mafreya all the way back till 9 a.m. the previous day. Kevin the bot ga'atzma b'shar rishonim motzei tahora. Since she checked herself at 6, the first hour of the day, she found herself to be tahora. Lo metamein on law me'eis le'eis. We're certainly not going to metamei her retroactively 24 hours. So why did the source bother even teaching us that point which is so obvious? The Gemara answers, Aidi the Tana, since the Tana did teach in the Resha, Meisleis Mema'etes Aliyad Mipkido Bikido, that the 24-hour retroactive time reduces the what would have otherwise been a much longer period of time from checking to checking, which, by the way, was in fact the opinion of Hillel. He did Metama from one checking point back to the last checking point. So since the Rabbanon teach us Me'eis le'eis reduces Mipkido b'kido Tananami, the source felt just for the sake of balance, even though there's no real chidush in this, there's no novelty or novel point being revealed here, but it teaches anyway Mipkido b'kido Me'ma'etes al-yad Me'eis le'eis, that checking times can also reduce the 24-hour time. Omar Rabba, my tamayu de Rabbanan. The Gemara is asking here, what is this shiur zman? What is this? What is the basis for this 24-hour period that the Rabbanan speak about? Before we go on in the Gemara, we will be using a double underline in here and another few lines. On the outside margin under our Mivneh heading, we feature this under our structural note. These are Shlavim B'Havonas Taima D'Rabbanan. The Gemara will go through stages here in trying to understand the opinion of the Rabbanan. So the Gemara is asking, Mai Tamayu D'Rabbanan, what is the basis of the Rabbanan? Isha, the Gemara answers, Isha margeshes ba'atzma. A woman feels when the blood is coming out. And therefore, there's no need to render her tamei retroactively. And therefore, we're certainly not going to go back to the last checking time. Omar le Abaye im kein tehei daya shaita. If your basis is that a woman feels when the blood is coming, then there should be, we should adopt the Shammai opinion, which says daya shaita, it is sufficient that we're metamer from this point on and nothing retroactive. So what was Rabba trying to say when he said that isha margeshes ba'atzma? The Rabba lichdudei l'abaye hu deboy. Rabba wanted to see if Abaye was sharp, if he was on his toes. So he said this. He tried to explain the 24 hours based on the woman feeling, which wasn't the real hesber of the Shitas Chachamim. Elo, my tamayu de Rabbanan. So what really is the basis of the Rabbanan who said, we'll metamei her retroactively 24 hours and not go all the way back in time had the previous checking been earlier than 24 hours? So what's their basis? Ki hal d'yomar Rav Yehuda amar Shmuel. Based on Rav Yehuda's teaching, Chachomim tiknu lohen lebnois Yisrael shuboidkos atzmon shachas v'arvis. The Chachomim made a ruling that Jewish women should check themselves twice every 24 hours, once in the morning and once in the evening. Shachris, the checking in the morning, lahachshir taros shel laila, upon revealing the checking to be tahor, no red on the checking cloth, we will be able to say that anything she handled in the last 12 hours, the last night period, she's checking herself here in the morning, so the anything she handled during the nighttime will be labeled tahor. The arvis, the checking that she does at the beginning of the evening, and if it shows that she was tahor, so lahachshir tarushom, that will give us the basis for saying that anything she handled during the daytime hours remains tahor. So that is a takona of the chachomim. For our purpose, just to keep things simple, two checkings every 24 hours, once in the morning and once at night. Vizu hoyo velo bodka. In our source above, we had a situation where a woman had checked herself on Sunday, but let Monday and Tuesday go by. So this woman who let so much time go by without checking, hifsida oina, she loses out an ona. Now, an ona literally means a time period. In our discussion, a time period is either the daytime or the nighttime. So the woman here that didn't do checking, she loses out a time period. So before we go further in the Gemara, let's look at the Rashi. Hifsida oino, Rashi says, kol taros shenis askobohen ba oino hazois hifsidua. All the taros that she had been involved with in this time period are a loss. My oino, Rashi goes on, that's what the Gemara is going to be asking now. What do you mean by oino? Hare shte oinois hein hayoim v'halayla. Dehainu meis le'eis. A 24-hour period, which we call meis le'eis, contains in it two oinos. Kegoin imotza arvis temea. If she finds herself to be Tamea at the evening checking, hifsidua kol taros shel yoim vishel emesh, an evening revelation of Tuma will cause a loss of the daytime taros, anything she handled during the daytime, and emesh, and the anything she handled the night before as well. So what do you mean when you say she loses an oina? My oina, we go back in the Gemara. Oina yesera, an extra oina. What does that mean for us? So, if she does a checking, let us say in the evening, that and reveals herself to be Tamea, well, she's going to, by letter of the law, she loses all of the daytime taharos. They all are declared tome. That's not a function of an impose of a knas, of a fine that the Rabbanan would impose for her laxity. Therefore, if we say that since a woman was lax in our ruling, she's going to lose more, it means an additional oina. What does that come out to? That comes out to 24 hours. So in our example, if a woman had checked herself in the after a few days go by when she wasn't involved in checking, and she the last checking she did on Sunday found herself to be tahora. The next checking she does is on Wednesday as the evening sets in, and she finds herself to be tamea. So that revelation of Tuma by letter of law establishes that all the Wednesday daytime taharos that she may have been handling are definitely Tomei. The Knas, the fine that the Rabbanim impose here, says not only the Wednesday daytime things will be Tomei, but the nighttime before that also. All the taharos she handled will be Tome, so that we're going in effect from Wednesday, let's say 6 p.m., we'll call the beginning of the Wednesday evening, back to Tuesday 6 p.m. Everything between Wednesday 6 p.m. and Tuesday 6 p.m. are declared to be Tome. The Gemara continues, Let's just repeat that last point. There is an additional oino that is being declared tamei beyond the letter of the law. And that's what the Chachomim's Shita is based on. The Gemara continues, Omar lei Rav Papa l'Rava, v'ha zimnin mishkachas law gimel oinois b'me'es la'es. You could have a situation where there will be three onos in a 24-hour period. And if you're going to say that we're metame me'es la'es, you're going beyond what we just heard as an explanation of one ono yisera. This is very unclear, but Rashi will make things clear. So let's take a look at the Rashi. Gimel oinois kagon im lo bodka yomim rabim. Same case as we had before. You were had a woman who checked herself on Sunday, found herself to be Torah, and let a number of days go by, and she didn't do any checking. Ubotka b'tzorayim, and on Wednesday noontime, she did a checking. Wednesday noontime, she did a checking and found herself to be tameah. She found the checking cloth to have blood on it. The mitamin law me'es la'es. We will say 24 hours retroactively, Tuesday, till Tuesday noontime, everything she was handling will be considered tameh. The havei luhu gimel onos. That entails three time periods. What do we mean by that? Hayoim. Well, from noon till the morning of today, from today's noontime back, so let's say 6 hours, that's the daytime ona of today. Emesh, from 6 a.m. back till 6 p.m., entailing the previous night, is a second ona. The esmo l'mafreya ad sohrayim, and from 6 p.m., Tuesday till noontime of Tuesday to complete the 24 hours, that's a daytime period of the previous day. So you have the previous day daytime from noon till 6. You have from 6 p.m. till 6 a.m., which we would call Tuesday night, and from the morning, when dawn or daybreak Wednesday, from 6 a.m. till 12 noon of Wednesday is a third time period. V'hashto kansinon lo shtei onos. And with that in mind, we are imposing a knas, a fine of her, on the woman of two onos, as opposed to Rabbanan chaduhu de konsu v'sulo. The Rabbanan imposed one extra time period and not any more than that. The Gemara answers, Hishvu chachomim midoisehen. The Rabbanan wanted to have a uniform time period. That's hishvu, has to do with uniformity. Shelo tachloi b'me'es leis. There should be no distinctions made, no differentiations made regarding the 24 hours. Let us look at the Rashi for this as well. On the second line under the Gemara text, Umeshani chachomim hishvu midosehen. Meshani means the Gemara answers, that the Chachomim made a uniform time period. Shelo tachlod meslei, should be no distinctions when we talk about a retroactive 24-hour time period. Rather, zman pavu v'cholut nosnu la l'mafreya. The Chachomim gave a fixed, constant time period l'mafreya when speaking about something retroactive. Afilu osto oso zman migimel onos, even if that 24-hour entails three onos, kigon shebodka b'tzarim v'lo bodka shachris, like our example where she checked herself at noon, did not do a morning check-in, v'emesh, and lo bodka shachris v'emesh, and she didn't do a checking either on the previous evening, which would, for our purpose, would be 18 hours before either. In other words, she didn't check herself. We're talking about a woman who checked herself at noon, did not check herself 6 hours earlier, at the beginning of the day, nor at the beginning of the evening, 18 hours earlier. Lo rotsu ligro l'mayid zmano ha-kavua la. They didn't want to reduce the fixed time that they've assigned to this. Elo pasku divrayim shalotitein divorim l'shirim. They made something, they established a definitive psak so as not to have anything on a flexible. Dvorim l'shirim means subjective type ruling. Continuing back in the Gemara, another reason that we will go in our example of the noontime Tuma revelation, go back 24 hours and not simply say one extra oina, shaloyehe choite niskar, so as not to reward the sinner. What do we mean by that? So let us look at the Rashi, who explains this with an example. Rashi on the fourth line under the Gemara text, for the following reason we're matama her from noon yesterday. The Iamris lo niknas ela oino yaseira, if we would say that we'll impose only one extra oino, nimtso choite niskar, it would then come out that the sinner actually benefits. The ilu zu shelo bodkats moyomim rabim ubodko lo hayom shachris. This same woman who didn't check herself for a number of days, thereby violating the Chachomim's rule of two checkings every 24 hours, morning and evening. This woman who didn't check herself a number of days, and if she had checked herself on Wednesday at the beginning of the day, we would have said she's to be fined with tuma for a full 24-hour period. That would be the previous nighttime, which is letter of the law, it's not the fine, but from the previous evening all the way back to the previous morning, 24 hours. The same woman that we were discussing that didn't check herself on the morning of Wednesday, but checked herself noontime of Wednesday. In other words, she continued her erring ways of not checking not only the morning of Wednesday, but let a few hours of Wednesday go by as well. If we would say ono achas lo tafsid el olaylo v'chatzi yom, she would lose out only a day and half a day and the night. Well, the half a day, that's obvious, but in addition to that, the ono achas would have been just the night, and hence she would be losing only 18 hours, and that as a result of sinning extra, namely letting the morning go by as well without checking, waiting till noontime, and then end up with a less loss than a woman who would have checked herself earlier at the beginning of the day. That situation would have been the sinner, this lax woman, benefiting by having less time less stuff being declared tomei. So as to avoid a situation of choite niskar, we say all women will lose out 24 hours. The Gemara goes on, says, "My binai, what's the difference between these two hesberim? One of the uniformity hesber and the hesber of shloye choite niskar?" Answer, Iko binaihu de isnisa velo bodka. If her non-checking on Wednesday morning her delay till Wednesday noon was a result of oinus, a result of something beyond her control. In other words, we have a woman that really did intend to check herself Wednesday morning, but because of something beyond her control, she was delayed till Wednesday noontime. If you say the first shot of Hishvu Chacham Yosem, we don't care, we have to go back retroactively 24 hours, even though it involves what we said before, two onos extra. However, if you say shlo yechote niskar, this woman's delay wasn't a result of a sin, intended laxity, but rather a result of circumstances beyond her control. If that be the case, so then it would be sufficient that we say that there will be tuma lamafreya, just that last night. If we're already imposing something retroactive, we'll say she's tamea not only the morning but the evening, but not all the way back to yesterday's Wednesday noontime. It could be as we're talking now, it could be that in the case of Oynes, maybe in the, if she checked herself Wednesday noon, we would say there is no fine imposed on her whatsoever, and we'll simply say, we'll make it the knas like the letter of the law, and the letter of law would have said till the morning alone. But certainly not 24 hours retroactively to include, as we said before, two onos, which would be one beyond the intended knas. The Gemara continues, Kol isha sheyesh lo veses daya shaita. Our Mishnah had said that any woman that has a fixed biological cycle where the menstrual flow comes at a fixed time periods, women like that that have the vesis, what's called a vesis kavua, that's a fixed time period when the blood appears, for them there is no retroactive tumah. Before going on in the Gemara, we want to take note of the structure. You'll notice that we have Roman numerals accompanying this Gemara to the on the outside margin, or the, it means to the immediate right-hand side of the Gemara text. On the outside margin, we have our Nosei Mivneh heading. So where you see the Roman numerals 1 and 2 featured, we'll read our note. Shnei Lishonos, A'ech Yesh Lihityaches. There are two versions of how to approach Le'isha Sheyesh Lo Veses regarding a woman that has a fixed time period. Dekotoni b'mishnosenu d'daya shaita. Our Mishnah had taught regarding that, that it's sufficient that we're metamaher from that moment onwards and no retroactive tumah. Mishnosenu, according to approach number one, is l'divrei hakol. According to approach number one, that point of Isha Sheyesh Lo Veses, Daya Shaita, is something everyone would agree with. According to that, when we say everyone, we are referring specifically to the Chachomim that we saw already in the Mishnah, the Chachomim, and Rebbe Doisa. The second approach, the Roman number two, would suggest that the Mishnah that says Daya Shaita is according to Rebbe Doisa. It's Rebbe Doisa's opinion, but the Chachomim would disagree. Let us take a look at the Gemara. Kol Isha Sheyesh Lo Veses Daya Shaita. That's what we saw in our Mishnah. Lemo Masnisin Rebbe Doisa Hi. Let us say that our Mishnah, namely the Chachomim in the Mishnah, is according to Rebbe Doisa. Veloi Rabbonan. In other words, it's not some type of widely accepted opinion, but rather it's the opinion of Rebbe Doisa. Desanya, we have a Tanaic source, Rebbe Elozer Omer, Arba Noshim Dayan Shaitan. Rebbe Elozer is of the opinion that there are four women, only four women, concerning whom we say that there are, that we say this lenient point that Tuma from this point, no retroactive Tuma, this from this point onwards alone. The four women are Besula, Meuberes, Menika, Uzikena, a virgin woman, a pregnant woman, a nursing woman, and an elderly woman. Rabbi Doisa Oimer, Kol Isha Sheyesh Lo Veses, any woman that has a fixed time, biological clock, we'll say, Daya Shaita. The idea of Daya Shaita, the lenient ruling applies to not just the four women listed by Rebbe Elozer, but any woman that has a fixed biological clock. Well, and we would add, that's Rebbe Doisa, but the Chachamim would disagree. So should we say that our Mishnah is only the opinion, is the opinion of Rebbe Doisa alone? The Gemara responds, Afilu Tema Rabbanan. No, our Mishnah might agree with the Rabbanan as well. You see, in this Tanaic source, Rebbe Doisa says his opinion, and there is an assumption that that's Rebbe Doisa's opinion, but the Rabbanan would disagree. So the Gemara goes on to say, yes, there is a disagreement on the part of the Rabbanan. However, it doesn't include this case. Ad kan lo pligi Rabbanan leid Rebbe Doisa elo shaloi b'shas vesta. The Rabbanan disagree only regarding a case of a woman that she may herself have a biological, fixed biological clock. However, something happened, and she saw a blood flow at a time other than the regular, the regularly scheduled appearance. So, in that case, where the dam appears at a time other than the expected time, there you'll have a machlokis, Rabbon and Rabbi Dosa. The Rabbonin say there is retroactive tumah, and Rabbi Dosa says even there, there is no retroactive tumah. Avol b'sha'as vesto modulei. But where the blood appears at the when you're dealing with a woman that has a fixed biological clock, and the dam appears at that fixed time, the Rabbonin agree. Umasnisin b'sha'as vesto v'divrei hakol. And our Mishnah can be learned our Mishnah that said Dayo Shaito, for a woman that's Yesh Lo Veses, it is speaking about that case where the blood appeared at the expected time. So you have these two elements. First, a woman that has a fixed time for seeing, and the blood appeared at the fixed time. Everyone will agree, meaning not only Rabbi Dosa, but the Chumim will agree as well, that Dayo Shaito, no retroactive tumah. Michlal, we can infer from this, Rabbi Dosa afilu shaloi b'sha'as vesto omar. The Rabbi Dosa says his din of daya shaita, even when the blood appears at a time other than the expected time. The Gemara goes on. Now, structurally, this is very, very unusual, but in effect, it's a different lashon of the Gemara. The Gemara says, "Man Tana Lahadu Tana Rabbanan." Who is the author of the following? But we want to say beyond this that at the bottom line of the Gemara, you'll notice a dashed underline, and the conclusion of this section of Gemara will be, "Umasnisin Bishas Vesta V'Rebi Doisahi." Our Mishnah that teaches Daya Shaita, no retroactive tuma, is where the blood appears at the expected time, and the result of this discussion is going to be that situation is according to Rabbi Dosa alone. You know, the situation and ruling. The situation where an Isha Sheyesh Lo Veses, and the blood appears at the expected time. And we say, regarding that Daya Shaita, that's only the opinion of Rabbi Dosa. Notice, this dashed underline, and contrasted with the dashed underlining that we had just now, when we finished the first lashon, we concluded umasnisin b'shas vesto v'divrei hakol, which is quite different. That's why what we're about to do in the Gemara is essentially a second lashon, a different version of these matters. So now let's go on in the Gemara with that in mind, and when we get to the top of Hey Omed Aleph, you will see a real manifestation of this. This two lashon, two version aspect of the Gemara. So now continuing, Man Tana Lahadu Tana Rabbanan. Who would the author of the following source be? Isha Sheyesh Lo Veses, a woman that has a fixed time period for seeing blood. Kisma Tomei Lemafreya, a woman like that notices a stain on her garment, a blood stain, will render her Tamea retroactively until the last washing of the garment. Namely, even though if she were to see blood coming from her body, not on the garment, since we're dealing with an Isha Sheyesh Lo Veses, we would say Daya Shaita, we say there's no retroactive Tuma. Nevertheless, the blood stain where we are going to Mitame Lemafreya. Let us glance at the Rashi, the second line from the bottom. Kismo tomei lemafreya ad shas kibus, until the last washing of the garment. Afalgav debiriyosa daya shaito, even though regarding an actual sighting of blood from her body, we would say it's sufficient that we're mitama from this point onwards. Nevertheless, mitamin on kismo lemafreya, the kesem, the blood stain, will be reason for imposing retroactive tumah. Toho ashkechinon biriyo tumah lemafreya, because we have precedents, even in the case of sighting, that there is retroactive tumah. She'im tireh shelo b'shas vesto mitam l'afreya. If she were to see the blood, even though she has a fixed time, if she were to see it at a time that other than the fixed time, we would impose retroactive tumah. So that there is a basis for retroactive tumah, even though we're dealing with an isha she'esh l'veses, and that is the case of a blood sighting at the unexpected time. Therefore, the kesem also will impose a tumah l'mafreya. Let's continue in the source. We said kismo tumah l'mafreya she'im tireh shelo b'shas vesto mitamah me'es le'es. A woman like this, if she were to see at an unexpected time, we would impose a retroactive tumah of 24 hours. So now, this source, Nemo Rabbonon Hivalo Rebbe Dosa, should we say it is in accordance with the Rabbonon and not in accordance with Rebbe Dosa? Because up till now, all we know about Rebbe Dosa is that when you're dealing with an Isha Shiesh Laveses, it's always Daya Shaita. Here you have the description of an Isha Shiesh Laveses and a retroactive tumah. The Gemara answers, Afilu Tema Rebbe Dosa. We can say that this source is in accordance with Rebbe Dosa. Ad kan lo polig Rebbe Dosa laya de Rabbanon elo bishas vesta. Up till now, Rebbe Dosa and the Chama argue about a case of a blood sighting when it comes at the expected time. Namely, Rebbe Dosa will say Daya Shaita, and the Rabbanon will say retroactive. But a blood sighting at the unexpected time, Rabbi Dosa would agree to the Rabbanan that there is retroactive 24-hour tumah. Umas Nisin, the Mishnah that taught Daya Shaita, our Mishnah that taught Daya Shaita, wherein the Chachamim said that Kol Isha Sheyesh Laves is Daya Shaita, that is Rabbi Dosa. Once again, umas nisin b'sh'as vesta for Rabbi Dosa he. Continuing at the top of Daf Hey, ubraisa, the braisa that said, that we just learned, that said that if she would see shelo b'sh'as vesta, there is tumah l'mafreya, that's divrei hakol. That's what the Gemara here says at the top of Daf Hey. So that now, in looking at our Gemara, we can say that regarding an Isha Sheyesh Laveses, a woman who ordinarily she has a fixed time for seeing blood, if she sees the blood, or let's put it this way, when will there be Daya Shaita? The only circumstance of Daya Shaita would be if she sees it at the expected time, and even then, that's only according to Rebbe Dosa. So it would come out that our Mishnah, according to this version, is Rebbe Dosa. The Isha Sheyesh Laveses that sees the blood at an unusual time, unexpected time, there will be Tumah L'mafreya of Meitz Leis, that is L'chol Hadeos. And as we said before, this conclusion is different than the way we concluded matters when dealing with Loshon, or version number one of this Gemara. The Gemara asks, V'lukma ibcha. Here we're continuing at the top line of Daf Hey. V'lukma ibcha. Let us look at the Rashi. Let us set up things in an opposite way. Kid'ukme me'ikora, as we set up in Loshon. Me'ikora means originally means in Loshon number one. Umaytai mohadriba. Why was there a back out? Ha shapir motzi lukmi masnis and divrei akol. We could have set up our Mishnah that spoke about shas, about daya shaita, according to all opinions. And under what circumstances? When the blood would have been noticed at the expected time. And the Braisa that spoke about Me'es Le'es was according to the Rabbanan. Isn't that how we set up matters originally? That Daya Shaita is L'chol Hadeos because the blood appeared at the expected time. And the Braisa that spoke about the Braisa that we saw Isha Sheyesh Laveses and there is Tumah Lamafreya, was talking about Shelo B'Shas Vesta, and that is according to the Rabbanan. So why didn't we set up things like that? Why did you choose to set up a situation where Daya Shaita and the comes out only in the case of, it's limited case, meaning only in the case of B'Shas Vesta, where the blood comes out at the expected time, and even so, it's only according to the Rabbanan, only according to Rabbi Dosa. The Gemara answers, Kevon de'iko le'ukumi le'kula chumra, since these two paths exist to set up either leniently, meaning daya shaita is something that could be according to everybody, ulechumra, meaning that daya shaita would come out only according to Rebbe Dosa, lechumra mukminan, whereas when you have two paths, two directions to go, one lenient and one stringent, we opt to go take the stringent path. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.